Well, welcome back to the EDF Renewables podcast edition. Got Craig Hart, and Craig Hart is with Pace University. Wanted to talk about Ridgeview Solar Project in Heartland, New York, right here in our backyard, Niagara County. It's a 350 megawatt solar project. It's going to involve, 40 farms. That's a lot. And it's 2,000 acres. I've got Craig Hart with Pace University. Hey, Craig, thanks for doing the show.
Mark, thanks for having me.
So tell us about Pace University a little bit.
So I'm the executive director at the Pace Energy and Climate Center. We're part of Pace University, which our main campus is down in Westchester County. And the Energy and Climate Center has been operating since, for over 30 years. We're in our fourth decade.
Okay.
And we were one of the very first of programs of its kind to be looking at energy and climate issues. And we're at the law school. So we do an interplay of law and policy, economics and technology.
And then, so what happened was EDF had, and EDF is, they're worldwide, had found you guys somehow and said, we want a local survey done for this solar farm and the impact on the community, an independent survey, I might add, and they found you somehow.
That's right. You know, and I think they were aware of Pace University and the center. And so they contacted us and contracted us to conduct an independent assessment to look at the socioeconomic impacts of this Ridgeview Solar Project. And so we, you know, to do this, we traveled to Heartland. And we spent about 2 weeks. I spent personally about 2 weeks in the community. We talked to landowners. We talked to town and county officials and others in the community. And not only did we conduct a lot of interviews, but we also did a survey of those of the landowners that will be participating in providing those the 2,000 plus acres that are part of the program. And we did a survey specifically as to, you know, what they plan to do with the lease payments they're going to receive, and to try to understand what that's going to mean for not only them as small farms, family run farms, but also for the entire community.
And again, you spent 2 weeks right here, and I remember when I talked to you one other time, you actually did the bed and breakfast thing. So you were right entrenched in the community. You really were. You weren't at some hotel, fancy hotel, driving in and during not regular business hours talking to people. You were at the local diner.
Yep. I tried to stay, you know, as close to what it would be like to live in the community, to understand the community, and, you know, and also just out of personal preference, I'd rather not be at a hotel if I can avoid it. So
sure. No, and that makes total sense. So let's get to the meat and potatoes of the survey.
Sure. So you know, at the Pace Energy and Climate Center, I will say we are supportive of solar generally, but only when it's done responsibly.
Yes.
And so, you know, when we agreed to do this, we also, you know, agreed that this would be done independently. The conclusions that we reach will be Pace's own conclusions. And it's not just solar, but it's how you do solar. So, you know, design choices count for a lot in how these projects turn out.
Yes.
And I want to say at the outset, you know, we were very, you know, impressed with the way EDF Renewables approached being transparent throughout the process. They, you know, we did require them to provide us with data. They agreed that they, you know, Pace would be publishing the study with data about the project, and they were agreeable to us doing that. And also, you know, I felt after having completed the study and done, you know, really a very deep diligence on what they're planning to do, that I think EDF Renewables is is making very significant efforts to make responsible decisions about the siting and the design. And that counts for a lot when you talk about the socioeconomic impacts.
And for people that don't or maybe have not listened to any of these podcasts, and this is their first one, EDF is not one of these Johnny-come-lately solar panel companies that, you know, everybody's on board. EDF's been around for a long time. So when you said they were, they supplied you with data, they have hard data in farms all over the world.
Yeah, we needed specifically from them information about, you know, placement of panels, how many panels, the economics, you know, understanding the economics that EDF Renewables was offering to landowners was really critical to understanding what the benefit to the community is going to be.
Sure, sure. So, and then I guess the big question all the time, and me, for me as well, because I'm in Niagara County, what's in it for us?
Okay, well, let's talk about the money part of this then. because this is actually a pretty significant, I think, revenue generator for not only the town of Heartland and the county, but I think it's going to benefit the region. So we estimate in this study that this project is going to bring in almost $230 million in revenues to Heartland and the broader community over the life of the project. And that's money that otherwise simply would not be coming into the community. And so, you know, and that's significant. Heartland's, I don't know exactly offhand what the population is, but it's a small town, and this is a very significant revenue generator.
Sure.
And what's really neat about this is that those revenues are going to be pretty evenly distributed over different groups. And that's pretty unusual in any kind of a business investment like this. So the landowners, you know, these are small farms, 40 or so family-owned farms, and some of these farms have been in the families for, you know, 100, 200 years. That's not unusual in Heartland. They're going to receive a roughly 40% of that $230 million.
So,
and, you know, and I
personally Craig, think that, I'll throw this in here for you. I just looked it up for the fun of it. Heartland only has 4,100, and that was as of April 2022.
Okay, so, you know, we're talking about this is a lot of money for a 4,000-person community. So landowners are going to get 40%, the biggest chunk, and I think that's right because they're really making the biggest contribution, the land itself.
Yes.
Now, the remaining 60% is divided between local government, so government services, the community in additional spending. We'll talk about that a bit more. And then the region. And so the rest is, it's roughly 20, 20, and 20 percent government, community, and region. So the government's going to get extra revenue generation to support schools, police, fire, and so on through a proposed pilot arrangement, a payment in lieu of taxes arrangement. The community is going to benefit from local spending. And so we did some survey work to determine how that $230 million, how that would move through the community. And what we did was we surveyed the landowners. We asked them, how do you plan to spend the money that you're going to earn from leasing the land?
Sure.
And they told us, you know, what they were going to do, what they plan to do. And we assumed that for half of, and a lot of it's things like, you know, home improvements, you know, vehicle purchase or repair, you know, kids' education, vacation, you know, household goods and so on, groceries. We had to make an assumption here that roughly half of the money that they were earning that was going to be spent on discretionary spending would be spent locally. And that only half of the money they were planning to spend on things like consumer goods was counted in that $230 million. So we made, you can read about the details in the study, but we, you know, we did do survey work.
And it sure comes in handy right now with the rate of inflation.
Every little bit counts these mm-hmm. days. And then the region, that's jobs. That's jobs. And we think that's regional because, you know, look, the reality is there's going to be a couple hundred workers on this project, you know, and it's anyone who wants a job in solar, and solar is a great opportunity in terms of something that's got future job growth and trajectory, is going to have one in the region. If they're interested, you know, they're going to have that opportunity because there's going to be jobs available to get your start in solar. But we recognize that those jobs are probably going to be sourced outside of Heartland. Heartland already, because it's a farming community, is actually short of labor. And so that, you know, some of those jobs will be sourced in Buffalo and the outlying cities. Some of it may come from, you know, other parts of the state or even outside the state. But we do see a regional benefit here in terms of jobs. And if you take the jobs part of it out entirely, you still have $180 million going into the local community. So it's real significant. I mean, this is a really makes a huge difference. And one of the things that I think is really impressive about this is that, particularly for these small farms, this is guaranteed revenue. And so this is a lot more reliable, predictable than if you're completely dependent upon farming. And this doesn't preclude farming. You can do solar and farming together. And what you get is you get a much more robust farm from a revenue perspective. And farming's not easy.
No way. So, and then what about, I mean, and when you said that about the solar and farming together, the first thing that popped into my head is the family farms.
Right. Yeah. So these are all family farms. Most of them are, you know, fairly small. I'd say the vast majority, I would say all, but maybe one or two are going to be probably under 500 acres. These are farms that have been in families for a long, long time. And, you know, Heartland has faced what the whole country has faced in farming, and that's been the loss of family-run farms. It's really tough to make it running a small family farm. Right now, prices are very high for farmers, and so times are fairly good, but labor costs have gone up, cost of fertilizers going up.
Oh my gosh, yep.
So even in the best of times, from a commodity perspective, they still face challenges in terms of on the cost side. So what this project does for those farms is it builds in a guaranteed return for if you want to put, you know, and we run different case scenarios in the report. You can go into and read the report and, you know, there are different scenarios. And if you put, say, in a 100-acre farm, 20 acres, if you put 20 acres under solar lease, and you can still do other things with it in agriculture like, you know, sheep grazing, but we're just looking at the solar revenues, that is going to provide a very significant revenue stream that's going to be able to pay for that family farm. It's going to cover certainly the mortgage and the taxes and very likely food for the family and possibly some home repairs. And, you know, and that's just 20% of the land. The rest of the farm production then obviously is important to the family revenues, but by no means is it now completely dependent upon farming. And the story on farming, as I'm sure you know, Mark, is that, you know, there have been a lot of farm failures. There's been a lot of farms that have been been bought up by larger farming operations. And we've seen a consolidation not only in Heartland but the country. And we think this can actually help stop that trend. This can keep the family farm in the family because, you know, the kids will be more interested in staying and living and working on that farm if there's a good revenue stream. And it just makes it easier all around. You can also hire people more readily if you've got that extra income. And we looked at all of that. We looked at what the impacts were going to be in terms of stabilizing the farm, bringing more revenue into these family farms, plus how those family farms will spend money in the community, how they'll look at making investments in the community, and job creation. We looked at all of that across the board.
You sure did. This survey is really, really something else. So let's wrap it up.
Yeah. So, you know, look, I think the big takeaways, and I would encourage you to, you know, everyone take a look at the study because the detail, we're only hitting the really high points here. Look at the detail counts, but you know, this is good for New York State.
Yeah.
This is going to help meet the state's climate goals. But the study itself focused on what's good for the community. And that was really about revenue generation. And a big part of that story is stabilizing these farms. And I think that's ultimately going to help preserve Heartland and its culture and also the community. So we see this as a really responsibly done project that's going to have just enormous benefits for the local community. And it's very equitably shared across different groups.
And you heard it here from Craig Hart. So how do we get to the study, Craig?
So you can find the study on the Pace Energy and Climate Center website. If you Google Pace Energy and Climate Center, you'll find it, and it's under publications.
That is fantastic. And I'll try to put a link wherever we post this podcast so that people just got to click and go. And maybe they can look through the study as they're listening to us. So go through the podcast, and anything you want to learn, EDF Renewables, and we'll see you next time.